This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Well, thank you all for being here today for the State of the State press conference. We just finished up here. Thank you to everyone who's joining us on the phones, too. Just a quick reminder, if you could mute your phones during the press conference, you can just enter *6, and then to unmute to ask a question, you can enter #6. So please remember to do that so we can use our time most effectively. But I just want to introduce Governor Noem, just finished State of the State address. So,
yes. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. You know, the State of the State address is always an important first step for a new governor. And you'll notice that I laid out a lot of the priorities that I talked about in my inaugural address as well, and then went into a little bit more detail about specifics of things that I'd like to get accomplished in this first legislative year, specifically focused on the meth epidemic, habitat, working on areas of economic development, and many, many more. The one clarification that I would like to make sure that folks know is that it's difficult to get all of your priorities summarized in a one-hour speech. And so there are many other things that we are continuing to talk about and will focus on during this legislative session, but also in the next 4 years, that are very important to the people of South Dakota. And so that is why our policy team has been busy working to pull those together, pulling together a budget that focuses on what our priorities need to be in the state of South Dakota to make sure that we're fully going after the successes for the next generation. But with that, I will open it up to questions to any of you. Nobody?
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
So Senator Stace Nelson is urging Congress and the President to fund construction of the southern border wall and then immediately commence the construction. Do you support this? Or will you be bringing a broader measure that opens this up to more legislators?
Well, I talked in my speech today about how important it is that we have a secure border because of the meth epidemic, and a vast majority of the meth in South Dakota is coming illegally over the border from Mexico. But that is a stance that I've always held for many years. I think that the President is a good negotiator. He'll continue to work on that, and if I have messages to deliver to him, I'll just pick up the phone and call him. Yes. Hi, good to see you.
I don't have long info. Where do you stand on presumptive probation?
You know, that is something that we have heard across the state from those in law enforcement and also other people that are dealing with some of the consequences of criminal activity that's happened across the state. So I know there will be a debate on that, that there is some reevaluation that will be done by the Attorney General. I'm interested in having the conversation as well. Well, we are working on it, and it was very helpful that Governor Dugard, immediately after the election and when he was putting together his budget, brought me and my team in so that we could be a part of that debate, that discussion, when he was talking about the priorities that he outlined in his budget address that he gave a couple of weeks ago. So we are pretty far down the path of pulling ours together. I would say that in the next week or so, you'll be able to hear a budget address that will reflect what I believe we should be focusing on in South Dakota and will fund our priorities. Well, I talked specifically about the fact that we need prevention. We need education for our kids about the damaging effects of meth. You know, meth is a very different type of drug that does immediate damage to the brain. In fact, many of those in treatment facilities throughout the state have told me that once someone is addicted to meth, that it oftentimes takes 2 years to rewire their brain to get back to a point where they aren't constantly thinking about that addiction and are able to function normally again. So letting kids know the true damage that meth can do and how quickly addiction can happen, and that education process really has been effective before, and that we need to focus on that again. We talked also about intervention and making sure we have treatment facilities and ability to offer more treatment of different kinds of levels for individuals. And if you remember during the campaign, I talked about family treatment as well. And today I talked specifically about foster care programs and making decisions that support families, keep families together, but also help them heal and not perpetuate some of the things that we're seeing in many homes that are dealing with drug addiction today.
I know you spoke a lot going on with the meth battle. I know you spoke a little bit about cracking down, but not wanting to put more Can you talk about how you do that?
Well, there has to be consequences, and there has to be accountability. And so we'll have an opportunity to provide programs that people will be required to participate in to stay out of jail, and then partner with foundations and entities, nonprofits, and ministries to make sure that accountability piece is there. So I am a big believer that state government isn't always the answer all in itself. That if there's a cooperation with private entities and also with nonprofits and ministries, that we often can have a support system that will give us much better benefits for the family and for those that are dealing with addiction.
You mentioned broadband internet towards the beginning. Why such a focus on the internet and the speed and accessibility here in South Dakota?
Well, we have a real need in a lot of the state, and I talked specifically about that it's not necessarily our most rural areas that have poor internet service. And it's difficult to recruit a business to come into an area if they don't have internet service. So many of our businesses now are doing business globally and would like to hire people locally, but they just don't have the opportunity to do so if they can't have that kind of service that is necessary. And then I tied it back into also educating our kids. And our kids need to have an opportunity to experience that technology, to get an education that will allow them to hit the ground running and really go after a career that needs and utilizes technology at that level. But it will be, it's not a one-year fix. You know, this is an expensive project to make sure that we get high-speed internet across the state and in many areas. So it's going to take partnerships with our telecom companies. We have new technologies that are being developed that I'm hoping we can utilize here in South Dakota, and a program that we will look at other programs across the country that have worked very well to work together and make sure that we have those cooperative efforts really benefiting our infrastructure developments.
Development, but I'm wondering your thoughts on special education. There are some special ed bills up for debate.
You know, I haven't looked at the text of those special ed bills yet, but we will be doing that. I've had some discussions with legislators about their initiatives, and I think that it's something I'm very interested in sitting down with them and talking about. But in education today, what I specifically spoke about was CTE and skills training, giving children an opportunity in middle school and high school to experience a workplace, developing soft skills, but then also civics and a citizenship test opportunity. So we also will be looking at the Department of Education to see what we can do to make sure that our kids come out of our K-12 system ready to take on technical education, higher education, and be prepared for it. Right now, we have a significant percentage of our students that are not prepared to take on higher education, and we need to focus on all children being successful.
Let's jump to some questions from folks on the phones.
Lee Governor JP from KORN News Radio, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Of course, the thing that stands out to many journalists is your commitment to government transparency, plus developing a common sense shield law for reporters. Governor, how can we help you make this happen?
Well, I would appreciate your insight on what that reporter shield law looks like. We have examples from other states that we have already been examining. The South Dakota Newspaper Association has worked with us on some ideas, but we would absolutely love to have your input as we get that bill put together. I talked in my speech about the fact that I want that taken care of this legislative session, so we will be putting that together quickly.
Thank you.
Hey, Governor,
yes.
Jerry at WNAX, how are you?
I believe it will, yeah. I'm doing great.
So in education, you talked about several different initiatives there, the CTE, the week of work, the civics test and all that. As you know, a lot of our school boards and superintendents are kind of allergic to too much help from peer. You know, how do you balance that?
Well, what do you mean allergic?
They they talk about the mandate thing, you know, and then especially unfunded mandates really gets them excited.
Yeah, they do. You're right. But I really believe that at the end of the day, education is about the students. It's about the kids and what we're doing to prepare them to be successful for the rest of their lives and have opportunities here in South Dakota, but wherever their dreams may lead them. So ultimately, when we have these types of discussions, we will make sure that we're focusing always on the kids and what the benefits would be to them. And I would,
Governor, this is.
Oh, I would just follow
up. Anderson at KKLS.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Oh, just a quick kind of follow up question on K-12 education. What, just as you look at it, as people have talked to you about it, what's just in your view, what's the overall outlook for an increase in funding for K-12 education or things like that for this upcoming year?
In approximately a week or so, you will see my budget address, and at that time, I will share more specifics with you.
Okay.
Okay.
You talked a lot about pheasant habitat in your speech, and I was just kind of wondering, how do you kind of balance sort of pheasant habitat with farmers trying to get the most out of their acreage?
You know, farmers and ranchers are making decisions on how to utilize their land in what cash flows many times. And so you need to have a program that will work for them, that is facilitates them and their ability to put their land into conservation practices. So my goal is to raise funds, and I identified several specific programs that I'll develop and put out, but also raising private and foundation dollars to pour into habitat to create those programs that landowners can participate in to put in grass, shelter belt, other good habitat that would protect our pheasant population while also at the same time building an aggressive predator control program. We do a lot of damage to our pheasant hatch every spring by coons, fox, skunks, and if we aggressively go after that with a bounty program, and added benefit of that is that our kids are outdoors and enjoying that heritage that we've always had in South Dakota too, and take care of the predator side while we're building habitat, we'll see a dramatic increase in pheasant populations in the next several years if it really is a targeted approach. Yeah. You know, I'm not certain how many homes they will be able to build within a calendar year, but they are excited about the prospect. This is a request that we've seen from small communities, is that these housing units would work very well for them, that they need a multifamily housing. So if we do a duplex, a triplex, or even larger, that it would be very useful to those towns of 5,000 or less. So the fact that Springfield can do that and make that happen, I think, is a unique opportunity for us to address affordable housing in many of these communities.
Going back to the civics education, mm-hmm. How would that kind of look on in some of our tribal area schools? Mm-hmm. And is there maybe even also a... maybe like a tribal component for non-native, non-tribal communities as well?
Well, we have different kinds of schools on tribal grounds. We have public schools that are run by the state of South Dakota. There's also BIE schools and there's tribal schools. And so the ability of the state to have an impact on some of those schools is at different levels based on what type of school system is set up there. But obviously, civics education and background and history should be well-rounded in the state of South Dakota. It will focus on American history, but also cultural history as well. So, but the reason for the civics is... because we have many times required immigrants when they come to this country to focus on knowing our country's history, effects, the branches of government, all of the things that make this country special and why we believe it is so special, that we should have our students be well educated in those areas as well. And so it is something that I've heard over and over dozens and dozens of times across the state of South Dakota, and I know the people of South Dakota support making sure that we don't repeat our past because we don't educate the next generation on the effects of what has happened in the past.
I think we can take one more question.
Governor, you mentioned licensure in your speech today. That's something that Governor Dennis Dugard brought up last year. It didn't make it through. So what would be different about what you're proposing that may prompt the legislature to push it along?
Well, there's areas where we can work with those boards and commissions to see what would be possible. One of the areas I hear about all the time is when we have an airman that comes in and is stationed at Ellsworth Air Force Base, if their spouse is a cosmetologist or insurance salesperson, agent, many times it takes them a year, 2 years to get their licensure in the state of South Dakota, and it dramatically hurts the income of that family because they can't practice their profession in South Dakota. So what can we do to get those individuals that maybe moved to South Dakota, or what can we do to those who are getting their license, get it faster, streamline it, allow it to happen quicker so that business can grow and that that family can do better in the meantime? So I think that there was a large licensure bill in the past. What we're hoping to do is much more targeted, look at specific industries that really need this kind of modernization that will really help us grow those specific areas with the help of the professionals that have been running those boards and commissions as well.
Thank you.
Yep. All right.
That's
well,
good.
I hope we got all your questions. Thank you all so much for being here. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.